PBS has always been king when it comes to an audience age 2 through 8 or 9, and then again for adults over age 40.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with PBS Digital Studios to attract that middle audience.
Right. So part of the reason that we became interested in digital studios is that we were observing that a lot of younger people, and actually, frankly, children, were going to YouTube as a place for entertainment and content. And as we looked at the space and we saw a lot of people that looked like the kind of people who were doing work for public broadcasting, people always think of YouTube and they always think of cat videos or cute pet tricks or something. And it really is an interesting space where people are creating a lot of great educational content as well. And so we started working in that space with people like Mike Rignetta, who did the Idea Channel, or It's Okay to Be Smart, which is a science series, and others, and really began to develop, you know, in short form video, really very smart, interesting, compelling content. Now, originally I thought this was going to be great for, you know, like 20-somethings, that it would be a place for people to come. You know, we know that our digital audience, for example, even for our broadcast programs, tends to be significantly lower. So the news hour in broadcast tends to be over 50, over 60, frankly. The average audience for the news hour in digital is 35. And so I think just in that one fact, you see that already it's a space itself that younger people are coming to. But the interesting thing with digital studios, it is picking up a lot of people in their teens, and actually tweens. And so it has turned out to be a really great space for us to develop content, particularly educational content, for kids and young adults to enjoy, but also for classroom use.
What I love about Frankenstein MD is it features, instead of Victor Frankenstein, it's Victoria Frankenstein, who's played by Anna Lohr. And she's just such an engaging, powerful role model, I think, for young women.
Yeah. And I think that, which raises a couple questions and that I could answer. I mean, I think that, again, I love the platform for us to experiment with different storytelling. And that was the first drama that we attempted in digital studios. And we've gotten a lot of great feedback. But the point that you're making about the woman scientist is something that we think larger about our programming, because I'm really interested, as we look at our programming, for role models, right? And particularly
and
in areas
for
like
girls
science.
And women.
And particularly in the area of science. But we look at it across our whole schedule. So even for the littlest ones, you know, one of our most recent children's program is Peg Plus Cat. The character, this is a series to help kids develop math skills. Peg solves these great mysteries using math. And it was specifically designed that the lead character would be a little girl, because a lot of little girls believe that math is not for them. Same with some of the work that we're doing in our broader schedule. We look for women scientists on some of our science series, because I think it is important for young women to see that, yes, I too can be a scientist. I too can aspire to a different type of career in different fields. And I think that's really important for young people coming up to see themselves reflected. It's also the case, as we look at some of the talent that we have, that people from very different backgrounds see their own stories represented. And I think that's tremendously empowering.
There seems to be this greater emphasis at PBS for programs that revolve around STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. How difficult is it to make that transition, and what's happening in terms of audience as the emphasis sort of goes from literacy to these STEM
so
subjects?
So for the young children, we really have done a lot of work in the STEM area. When we started looking at our curriculum-based programming, we focused first on literacy and then evolved into STEM, and actually we're right now developing some programs that actually blend two of them, some of those together. That has not been hard to do. I mean, we really have deliberately mapped out against a core curriculum, and we're looking for new storytellers and so forth, and that's worked out really well. I think in terms of our broader audience, there's a great hunger for science. And as we look around at other channels, we don't see a lot of great science programming. We have a long legacy of science with series like Nature and Nova, and frankly, historically, series like Cosmos. And so Nature and Nova we put together on Wednesday nights so that we've created what I think is the smartest night on TV, and then we've supplemented that with really great both one-off documentaries as longer series. And so Earth, the New Wild is one of the most recent ones that really does look at natural history, but with man as part of the story. Most natural history programs, you know, you never see the human presence. And so this really looks at the interrelationship between man and the natural world and how that informs how we move forward. And so I think that there is a great appetite. Our audiences on Wednesday night have increased significantly as people are interested in the programming. And we've just made it easier for them to find it by putting it together.